Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas. Today we're going to dive into the book of Hebrews. There's a little bit of a controversy over the book of Hebrews, exactly who the author was. Some say Paul, some say Peter. And some, like me, say, I don't know. I've looked at all of the arguments on every side, and the fact is, I come to the conclusion that I don't know, and frankly, it really doesn't matter to me. I know that the true author is God Almighty, who through His Holy Spirit had some man pen this book at that time. So I'm not even going to pretend that I know. Let's dive right into the book, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who, being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. There's a lot of debate out there. Monotheism, Trinitarianism, and is Jesus God in the flesh? Was He God? Was He all God? Was He all man? People love to argue these things. The Godhead is something that I think is really beyond the grasp of articulation with language. There. That was difficult enough to say. But for me to articulate the Godhead and how Jesus could say something like, when He was asked the question, show us the Father, by one of His disciples, and He said, have I been so long with you? And you don't know me. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He said these things. Do I have the right to create a doctrine now, a Trinity doctrine? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Do I have the right to try to articulate that as if I really could? I understand what we just read here. This, I believe this, that Yahshua, Jesus, the Son of God, was the express image of His person. So somehow, this man was the expression of God on earth in a man. Somehow, He prepared a body for Himself and became a man. And at the same time, separated this expression of Himself from the fullness of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit, a separate and distinct person, perhaps another expression of the Godhead. When I think of the Holy Spirit, I think of the Heavenly Father's Holy Spirit. It's His Holy Spirit. It's His Son. He is God. To put it down in a doctrinal formula that I didn't have to convince everyone else of, that becomes a test for true faith and who is or who is not a heretic. I'm sorry, I can't do it, and I can't buy into it. And I'm just not going to get into that argument. I read the word here and I believe it. If some people need to formulate it into a doctrine to be able to accept it, well, it is the doctrine of men. Certainly they derive their doctrine from the scripture itself. Okay, but it's still them. It's still the doctrine of men deriving a doctrine from the scripture itself. And because I don't want to argue it and I don't want to say I believe what you're saying, open the word, read a passage to me, and I'll say, I believe that. And that's as far as I need to go with it. And I'll let all the experts argue on the details of the doctrine. For me, you know, it reminds me that Yahshua, Jesus said, you must become as a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you have faith like one of these little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Perhaps my faith is too childlike to buy into and argue the fine points of doctrines of men, derived, of course, from the scripture itself. For me, I'm just simple enough to read the word and believe it and try my best to understand it and try to bring that understanding to other people. Yes, I am a monotheist because scripture demands. I mean, I don't even have to invent a doctrine for that. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. We worship one God. Somehow this man, Yahshua, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was the express image of his person. That's what we have here in the King James Version. I believe that. It says he was the brightness of his glory. I believe that. Upholding all things by the word of his power. It must be true. It says that he is the heir of all things and by whom also he made the worlds. I believe that. Simple enough for me to just say that I believe that. And the very best part is that he, when he had by himself purged our sins, my sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And I believe that. And that's my simple faith. I believe it. He purged our sins. Now I can live. The life that his book offers me is available to me because of what he did. I believe it. Verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 1, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. By what inheritance? Of course, by the inheritance of being the Son of God. Somehow. Here's a mystery. You know, God made Adam. Adam was a son of God, but he wasn't begotten. There's something about your own begotten son that separates him from, say, someone you adopted. Or, well, I guess we can't really make a son. So we can't quite understand that, but there's some mystery here that the only begotten Son of God that separates him from all of the angels, from all other men, from all created creatures, he was the only begotten Son of God. The second Adam, he's called a special man, a man who would not fall, a man who would not sin, a man who by the very Spirit of God dwelling in him was able to keep himself from all of the temptations that every other man has fallen into, starting with Adam. Being the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Spirit of God, of the Heavenly Father's Holy Spirit, he did not have that sin nature of the fallen seed line of Adam that we are all born with. The one that says, you, I, we shall surely die. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And here, this goes right to the name. And sometimes it bothers me that I spend so much time on the name because it bothers so many people. And I would rather be popular, but I guess I have to give up popularity in order to be obedient to my Heavenly Father. So here it is. He obtained a more excellent name than they. His name says it all. In the Hebrew, Yahushua, the name of our Heavenly Father, Yahuwah. Read throughout the Old Testament. He, speaking of the Heavenly Father, is our salvation. This goes back to the person, the express image of the Heavenly Father, the person of Christ. He prepared a body for himself. He became a man, that man, the Son of God. And here we go. We're going back to the mystery of the Son of God, the mystery of the virgin birth, the mystery of the only begotten Son of God. How God, who can do everything. I know the Islam scorns it. They say, how could God become his own son? Well, see, they don't know the God that I know. The God who can do that and did it. See, their God is limited. He can't do that. They can't even conceive of the virgin birth, that that could really happen. But somehow they believe in a God that created the universe. But they can't believe that God, that that same God, could create a new seed inside the womb of a young virgin for the purpose of saving us from our sins. There was no other way to save us. It was the only way we could have a kinsman redeemer. We must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels hath said, Who maketh his angels spirit, and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Those words, I mean, they move me. The scepter, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of his kingdom. Thou hast loved, verse 9, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old, as doth a garment. And as a vesture, thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? This was no ordinary man. He was God in the flesh. And then the skeptics come along and they ask questions. Well, it says that in that part that no man knoweth, not even the Son, but God alone. So how could Yahshua, Jesus, the man, be God? Well, there is the mystery, isn't it? I don't have an answer for you. I just believe the word. And it says here, he was the express image of his person. Could God do this? Could an almighty God do this? Become a man and exclude certain knowledge from that expression of himself as a man? Obviously he could, because the word says that he did it. And why should I doubt it? Just because I can't comprehend it. But there is a promise in the scripture here, and it says that one day we will know all things, even as we are known. I believe that too. And for me, it's not important to have all these mysteries figured out right now. To say that I believe them, and somehow in my spirit I understand that they're true, but I can't articulate them and pen them out in a doctrine and spell them out for everybody else on the planet so they understand. What I do understand is, from many years of preaching the word and trying to share the message with others, is that without the Spirit, there is no understanding. If people don't want to receive it, it doesn't matter how well I have the doctrine spelled out. They are not going to receive it. If they're living in darkness, if they love the darkness, and they hate righteousness, even while they're pretending by going to the corporate church and saying all the right words, no matter how good their pretending is, if they're practicing unrighteousness in their life, their eyes will be blinded by that unrighteousness. I know. Been there. I've been blind. The scepter of his kingdom is righteousness. We need to understand that. Verse 8, chapter 1. But unto the Son he said, Thy throne, O God, This is the Spirit, God speaking by the Spirit to his Son, conveying this message to us. But unto the Son, he saith, who is the he? God Almighty. He saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. He rules by righteousness. And if you want to be in his kingdom, you need to practice righteousness. He said it, the one we're talking about here. This, O God, thy throne is forever. He said to the Son, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. He expressed it this way, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You want to be in his kingdom? You want to understand these mysteries? Then understand the scepter of righteousness by which he rules his kingdom. And when he rules by righteousness in your life, then you are in his kingdom. When you put off the darkness and you put on his righteousness, you are in his kingdom. Then all the arguments cease. We don't worry about arguing over doctrines of men and the Trinity. Verse 14 says, speaking of the angels, they are all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. I believe that. I can't see it. I don't know what these ministering spirits are doing out here, but it says that they're sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. I want to be one of those heirs of salvation. Heavenly Father, make me one of them. Make me an heir of salvation. Allow me to live in your kingdom where you rule, where the scepter of your kingdom is righteousness. That's my prayer for me and for you. Moving on to chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That brings me back to the parable of the sower, how the word is sowed in people's lives, but most of them let it slip for one reason or another. They lose it. Oh, some of them are real happy. They go to a Billy Graham crusade. I have to chuckle at the use of the word crusade. But they go to one of these great evangelist crusades, and they have the emotional experience, and the tears are coming down because the message is preached in such a way to move you emotionally. And you receive it with joy. Yes, I want eternal life. I want to live forever. Who doesn't want eternal life? Who wants to go to hell? Nobody. We can all be moved by this message emotionally to accepting that truth for the moment. But what good is it if we let it slip? Yes, I believe that people can be saved at some of these so-called crusades and by hearing these messages, but it's because they cross over into his kingdom where the scepter of his kingdom is righteousness, and they allow him to rule in their life, to bring his righteousness into their life and to supplant the evil and the disobedience that the scripture so plainly says. We all had our conversation in times past with the children of disobedience, to put that off and start practicing his righteousness, to allow him to bring his righteousness by the scepter which he rules his kingdom into our lives. We do not let it slip. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed, pay more honest attention to these things, rather than believing the lie. Oh, you said the sinner's prayer, you said the magic words. Now you're saved forever. Don't ever let anyone question your salvation. Nobody can snatch you out of his hand, and all the pat phrases that they have down to convince you, to lead you up to the kingdom. But they don't suffer you to enter because they don't go in themselves. See, nothing has changed in 2,000 years. Yeshua, Jesus, said those words about the pastors and the teachers and the religious leaders of his day. He said they lead you up to the kingdom, but they don't allow you to enter because they don't go in themselves. Repeat after me the magic words. and you'll get to go to heaven when you die. Meanwhile, there is a kingdom here where he rules, and the scepter by which he rules is righteousness. And he wants to bring that kingdom into your life. But most of the people that hear the message will let it slip. They'll be happy with a message that says you get to go to heaven when you die. And God's law is dead. So you can keep practicing your sin. And then you start learning the doctrines of men while it slips away from you. Don't let it slip. We ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and that is Yahushua, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, speaking of the apostles and his disciples that brought this message to us by the very word that I'm reading today. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. And we'll pick up here when we get back from the break. You're listening to Cross the Border. Visit my website. Email me. Let me know you're listening to this program. And take advantage of the resources there. And especially, watch that video there, The Greatest Prophecy. I hope it'll change your life. We'll be back in a few minutes.